Joining us now, he's the head golf professional down at Colonial, host of the Dean and DeLuca Invitational. Dal Finsterwald Jr. joins us. Welcome into the show.
Well, thanks for having me. I look forward to talking to y'all for a little bit.
Yeah, so a classic golf tournament on a classic golf course. Jordan Spieth, defending champion. Are you guys ready for, in about 10 days to tee this thing up or what?
Yes, sir, we are. We've had a pretty mild winter and a really good spring, so the course is in fantastic shape. And having Jordan Spieth for our defending champion, can't ask for much better. Hopefully he'll break through pretty quick. Hopefully it'll be nice at Colonial. We have a couple members, Ryan Palmer, who I'd love to see do well. And, of course, Sergio's going to – our hopes are that he'll be playing. Plans are that he will, but it's not for sure yet.
So when you talk about, you had a good winter for the course to be set up well, what does that mean in terms of, how do you think the rough's going to shape up? Is it going to be high? Is it going to be low? Are we going to be firm and fast? How's the course going to play?
Well, the PGA Tour kind of has specifications how they want everything set up every week, but we will definitely be as good as you can be as far as green speed, rough height, fairway height, and just the whole course is going to be exactly how you could dial it in, with perfect weather, which we've had.
Yeah, and now this is a golf course and a tournament that's been around since 1946, and the first winner, Ben Hogan. So what kind of player do we look for at this golf course? I mean, the winner seems to be all across the board, so is it just kind of like the hot hand that week, or is it set up specifically for a good driver of the ball, somebody who hits a lot of greens and regulations, or somebody who just rolls the rock?
Well, we have had a various top golf winners in the past, and long hitters, short hitters. But for the most part, the consistent golfer, you got to be patient. A lot of dog legs. You play to the turn, and then from there, it doesn't really matter how long you are. You just everybody's playing to a certain distance. So, I don't think anybody has an advantage here. Jason Duffner. Kuchar plays well, and obviously Jordan and Ryan Palmer are the ones that I'm going to look for. Obviously, John Rahm, he's playing great.
Now, has Rahm played out there before, or is he going to be seeing it for the very first time?
He's played up like we had we have the Hogan Award every year, and he won that one year. So he played it just as a practice round. He hasn't played it as a competitor, but he's been here just once or twice. So I know he'll look forward to playing Colonial. Hopefully
I'll
have a good week.
Well, we just earlier in the show ripped apart Brandel Chamblee for saying that, the TPC Sawgrass layout doesn't encourage superstars to play well. Would you say that this course does, or might we see another breakthrough star?
If you look at our wall of champions, we've had several pretty big name winners, Trevino, Palmer, Nicklaus, Hogan. And over, Jordan last year, coming, getting ready, start playing well again. We've had some pretty big name winners. Obviously, we've had some that aren't, but Nicklaus, everybody that's done anything in golf has won here.
So from last year to this year, we're sitting here in Charlotte, and we know better than anybody that the Quail Hollow makes changes every year to the golf course, and obviously with the PGA Championship coming up this year, the golf course and the front nine is going to look drastically different from where the Wells Fargo played last year to the PGA this year. Any significant changes to Colonial from last year to this year?
I know. So we did a pretty big renovation about 5 years ago. Keith Foster came in, and really right now we're in pretty good shape. We've just enlisted Gil Hance to kind of help us with a future plan for the course, a master plan, and so we're excited about that. But as far as what you saw last year and the year before that, the course is going to be very much the same. It's all wind. If we have a lot of wind like we usually do in the spring, that really becomes a big factor in the scoring and who wins.
Well, yeah, as you look at the long-range forecast, we're 8-10 days out, what, are we going to see anything different? Is there rain in the forecast? Is there wind? And are those the two things that we think could most affect play?
I think wind more than anything. We had rain a lot last year. We finished it dark every night for 3 days, and they still only shot 9 under par. So I would say wind is probably a bigger factor. At least that way play keeps moving, and it's no one's ever sure what club to hit. And with the tall trees around Colonial, club selection becomes pretty difficult. So people that play there a lot, if it's real windy, have a better chance than those who have not.
Mm. Well, you know, as I look at the scorecard, it's probably going to play around, you know, 7,200 yards. And I'm curious if you wouldn't mind, take our listeners through some of the holes where you think players can find a little luck and maybe, you know, make up some time, make up some scores. And then what I like is, where are we going to see some carnage? Where are we going to see people fall apart?
Okay, well, obviously, the course gets off to a pretty easy start with 1 and 2 of par 5, a really short par 4, but then 3, 4, and 5 are notably the most difficult holes on the course. So usually you can tell how your rounds can go after number 5. But as far as carnage, number 13 is kind of our stadium hole like they have at the Phoenix Open. We have a ton of people out there. Everybody's pretty having a good time, and it's a par 3 into the wind with water right in front, and it's a hard hole, and I've seen a lot of high scores on that hole. So if any carnage was to happen, I would predict that it would be on hole number 13.
Well, and if we get down to it and it's tight, 15, 16, 17, 18, where are which of those holes offers scoring opportunities if the tournament is tight on Sunday?
Well, 17 is probably going to, you know, be a real short shot coming in there. 16 is probably our most undulating green, so a par on that hole is good. I would say 17 and 18, you know, they're hitting 900 and wedges in there. So 17 would be number one chance to make birdie, and 18 number two out of the last three holes.
Yeah, I mean, when you start looking at the back nine, I mean, not too many. I think only one or two holes actually play under par on average. And so, you know, you get a lead, pars are good coming in. If you're trying to chase, you know, sometimes those birdies are a little hard to catch because these holes are, you know, they're not super difficult, but they're not really easy. I mean, I think they're very fair holes coming in. What's your favorite hole in the golf course?
Well, I like number 15. I mean, it kind of requires you to just kind of lay up to the dog leg and hit into a green that's guarded by water over the green. But it's a pretty hole, and it plays difficult regardless which way the wind's blowing.
So is that where we would find you if you weren't busy all week? If you had a chance to put a cold frosty in your hand and a lawn chair, where would we find you watching the tournament?
Well, I guess, you know, I like those kind of over there to the left of 15 green. Yeah, you could probably find me there with a cold in the shade.
That's what I like.
Good thing about Colonial, it's on such a small piece of property that it's easy to watch golf, and there's a lot going on everywhere. So there's no way you won't have a good time if you come to Colonial. I wish you guys would come down and see us sometime.
Yeah, we'll have to try and do that. Road trip. Again, we're speaking with the head golf professional.
Yeah, come on, we got it.
The head golf professional down at Colonial hosted the Dean and DeLuca Invitational. Dal Finsterwald Jr. joins us. And, you know, when we start talking about players and, you know, guys hitting it really, really long, I mean, does this golf course set up so that you can just get up there and bomb it, or is it much more placement? Because we see that a lot. We see that occasionally through the tour schedule. I mean, guys come from Augusta where, you know, on some holes you can bomb, and other holes you have to be very strategic where you hit it. Obviously, in the second shot, you have to hit it there. Then we go to a place like Hilton Head. Harbortown is very much a, you got to place it in the right spot. Do we see more of that on this golf course as opposed to just grip it and rip it, old John Daly school?
Absolutely, that's correct. I mean, really only there's only two straight holes, 7 and 11, and the rest of them have some kind of dog leg. Length really doesn't do any good except for the two par fives that might enable you to reach those in two. But grip it and rip it doesn't work. John Daly's come several times and tried that philosophy, and it didn't work out so well for him. We have Jamie Sidlowski's going to play this year in our tournament, so that's kind of a different angle. Everybody will be excited to see how far he can hit it, but I don't think that will be the game he'll instill this next week at Colonial. I think he'll try to keep it in play.
Well, and the other thing, too, is we saw the last couple weeks. We saw it really Saturday at the Players and a little bit on Sunday with the win. We saw it the week before out in Wilmington with the Wells Fargo Championship. Players really don't like the wind. The wind is kind of their enemy. And so from a standpoint of the wind on this golf course, what's kind of the base wind that you would say, you know, gives the golf course a little bit of teeth but doesn't really make it, you know, allows good shots to be rewarded and bad shots to be penalized? You know, like, is it a 15-mile-an-hour wind that's kind of the standard?
Yeah, I would say 15 mile would be a good standard, and it's generally out of the south. So the holes were all designed with that in mind. That's a predominant wind. But But, you know, I would say, you know, we can get 25, 30 mile an hour gusts in for 3 and 4 days in a row. And that's kind of what I see this next week. Just we're in a dry pattern now. We had a really wet year last year, and Texas is kind of starting to dry up. So we start needing rain, and that means we're not probably going to get any. But I'm going to predict some wind and nice weather all next week.
So give me a score that you would be willing, if you were in, you know, three or four groups back and you managed to post a low score, that you would be willing to tip a few cold ones, maybe do some Jaeger bombs, and be willing to sit on that score and feel safe.
I would think 14-under is a really good score. I mean, we've had single-digit winners 2 out of the last 3 years, and we've also had 21-under. So I'm going to go 14-under, and I'll sit and have some Jaeger bombs with you guys.
Nice. Sweet. I know it's a good time. I'm curious. Mark and I were both raised outside of Boston, where we grew up, you know, watching games at the ubiquitous Boston Garden. And then we were told we had to call it the Fleet Center. And now it's the TD Bank North Garden. What's it like at the Colonial, which has always been the Colonial, to start calling it Dean and DeLuca? Has it been an adjustment?
Well, it definitely was, but they've been a fantastic sponsor. They've built up a replica store right on the property. I mean, they spend a lot of money, and it's just like the store you would walk in on Prince Street in New York City. All the same items. I mean, they've been a fantastic sponsor, and yeah, we're getting used to saying Dean and DeLuca. But they've been fantastic, and we're really excited. We have 5 more years with them, so we're looking forward to our partnership that we have.
Yeah, I mean, how's your waistline with all those cookies and cupcakes and stuff from Dean and DeLuca?
Well, I gained a couple extra pounds that week for sure, but I'm a little bit active. I don't think I'll get in too bad of shape.
Well, I mean, you want, all the walking around, I'm sure you do. You definitely need the calories, don't you?
Sure I do. We all do.
Come on, I'm trying to help you out here. I'm trying to make it okay to go in and have a little snack here and there.
Jaeger bombs and cookies. I can't believe I'm not going.
So, well, you guys are always welcome for sure.
I appreciate it. So you know, what's kind of the, as we let you go here, what's the last thing that you guys need to do from a your staff perspective to kind of button things up and get ready for the tournament?
We have 4 golf shops on the property, a couple really big ones, and just getting everything in position, and then just making sure that we have everything in place as far as the practice facilities, all the extra golf equipment, just all the operations. Pretty much button all that down this week, but we make our money, you know, we make half of our money for the whole year that next week, and as far as golf shop sales, so we got to focus on that.
All right, and what is the vibe, I mean, at the tournament in terms of guests coming from out of town? Is it a stuffy tournament? Is it a fun tournament? Is it sort of what's the vibe?
Well, I heard Jaeger bombs.
I heard Jaeger bombs and cookies, but that could just be the three of us.
Yeah, exactly, but frozen margaritas, girls not wearing a whole lot of clothes. It's a pretty relaxed tournament. Don't ever have any issues, you know, with the police or anything, but people do have a very good time there, and I think they feel pretty relaxed.
Okay, I'll see you Thursday.
Come on down, yeah.
Well, Dow, man, we really appreciate you coming on with us. Have a great tournament down there, and we're holding you to the 14.
All right, well, call me anytime, and thank you guys for allowing me to be on your show.